Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back, Richard. Today we're going to talk about five habits, five very common and seemingly harmless habits that actually can increase our stress.
It was sort of sobering reading these five because I'm thinking guilty on all five counts. These are so easy to slip into. You don't think about them.
Right. Now, this is an article that was written at CheatSheet.com. I've never been here.
Before. So you're not the only one who. Okay.
Yeah. Right. I don't even remember how I found this article, but you know what? I found it in Apple News. Actually, that's how I found it. But I saw it and I was thinking, you know what? That would be. We haven't done.
That explains why I've never seen it.
Yeah.
I don't traverse those
news
sites.
Oh, true.
Apple News.
Apple News. It's an app on your phone.
No, it isn't. You mean you can access it? As an app.
It's an app on your phone. I'll show it to you later. I had it set up for you.
You did?
Yeah.
You see what I mean?
Yeah, I see.
Cheat. Okay.
So, a couple of these harmless habits are things that we've talked about before.
Right.
So.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've discussed these things before, but when you see them like this and you think, wow, you have done that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, just did that.
That's right. Did that yesterday. I'll probably do this one today.
That's right.
Yeah.
So the first one is eating an unbalanced diet. Now, we've talked lots of times before here on the podcast about the importance of having a healthy diet. And, you know, it just, I guess, stands to be mentioned again that, you know, eating an unhealthy diet certainly increases stress and increases, you know, problems that we have that we will have throughout the day, whether it's increasing the risk for fatigue or, you know, again, just increasing stress and pressure.
And this is what you are doing to yourself and what you're denying yourself.
Right.
If you're eating an unhealthy diet, it's harmful in two ways.
Right.
You're eating food that creates problems.
That causes stress, right?
That would be all the foods we love.
Mm-hmm.
French fries and donuts and comfort foods.
Right.
Okay. And you're denying yourself foods and nutrients. Mm-hmm. It's really about nutrition.
Right.
Nutrients that you should be taking in. And they mention omega-3.
Yeah,
it's not the only one, but, you know, foods that are high in vitamins and minerals and all that.
Yeah.
And they mention omega-3 in particular.
Yeah.
If you don't have a good diet, you're denying yourself those essential nutrients.
Yeah. Whole fruits and vegetables are the best route to go there.
Right.
So, the second habit is overthinking. Now, this is one that I really like because we haven't talked about this one as much, but overthinking and ruminating is a problem.
Right.
It creates a lot of stress, and it doesn't always give us what we think we're going to get from it.
Right.
We think that if we just sit and think about something repeatedly that we're going to come to a resolution, but that doesn't necessarily happen.
Right. And here we're really talking about rumination, where you go over it and over it and over it. Because replaying it over and over again isn't accomplishing anything, but you're wearing yourself out because you're usually ruminating about the negative parts.
And when you're ruminating about one thing, you're certainly not doing other things you probably need to do, but you're also not doing anything that you need to do to solve the problem.
I guess that's true about each one of these, now that you mention it. If you're ruminating, you're spending a lot of time in the negative camp, and you're not doing the you're not thinking about the things you should be thinking about.
Right. Now, number three.
Oh, I love number three.
I do too. Number three is being late. Now, being late causes stress, again, in two different ways.
Right.
One of the ways that it causes stress, of course, is the pressure that we feel for being late. You know, when we're looking at our watch the whole time when we're driving, or we're knowing that we're running behind and that we have to hurry up and get there, and of course then we get stopped by a stoplight or we get behind that slow vehicle and it just increases that blood pressure, that stress.
You not only have this crazy ride to get there, or you're running, if you're on foot, you're running and sweating over. So you have that, and then you know that the people who are waiting for you are going may think badly of you. And so there are all kinds of problems with this one.
I was going to say that, yeah, that's the second one. That's the second way in which this causes stress, is that it starts to affect relationships.
That's right.
You know, if people depend on you to be at a certain place at a certain time, or when you say you're going to be there, and then you're late consistently, that's certainly...
Yeah, we all have one friend or family member, and we say, well, we're going to get together at 10, knowing that they're not going to show up until sometime after 11.
Right.
You know, so you even adjust the clock for those people. But you know that others are thinking badly of you, because you hear, we're always talking about the person who's always late. You know, so why are you keeping me waiting? Because I don't matter to you.
Right.
And
that's it. That's
if you
the
keep
issue.
Me waiting, you know, then I'm not important.
Right. Mm-hmm. Now, number four is not taking breaks.
Guilty. This?
Yeah.
Are we guilty of this one?
Maybe.
Weird.
But this is a really interesting sort of paradoxical relationship.
Right.
You know, we think that, well, if we just grind through it, that we're going to, you know, get more done and perform better. But actually what research suggests, and what we really know about the neuropsychology of problem solving and things like that, is that sometimes you need those breaks.
You know, I don't remember very well an 8-hour day.
Right.
You know, we typically think of an 8-hour work day. But I was talking to a friend last night who works in a construction firm, and they typically work 12 or more hours a day. And I think when you're working that many hours a day, you have got to start taking some breaks, because I don't think you can sustain it.
No.
And I don't know what the limit is, and I suppose it's different for different people.
Oh yeah.
But I'm good for a couple of hours and then I have to take a break. But I've had my doctoral students say, "Oh, I had the most wonderful day. I sat at my table for 8 hours and got all this work finished."
Yeah.
And I don't think I could do 8 hours at a stretch.
Yeah, and I'm always a little skeptical when people say those kinds of things, because the likelihood is that they didn't sit there for 8 hours.
Do you take breaks?
I mean,
you're able to sustain your effort for long periods of time.
Well, yeah, and it depends on what we mean by breaks. I mean, if you get up to go to the bathroom or you go get a drink or something like that, I mean, that's technically a break.
What about shifting from activity to activity?
No, I do
that. Is that a break?
It could be, depending, especially if the breaks. Remember, we talked before about multitasking, and we talked about how you shift from a topic that requires one type of cognitive skill or one type of behavior to another one that requires something different, and those shifts.
So you might be sitting at your desk. Oh, and that's another thing, sitting too long.
Yeah.
If you're in one position for too long, that's physically bad for you.
Right.
I didn't realize how bad it actually is
to
stay seated for that long. I guess there's risk of blood clots and blood pressure
absolutely.
Problems. But I guess if you're shifting from, like, you're writing a report and then you shift to redo your calendar, is that a break?
Yeah.
Or
I think that could be a
Or do you
a
have
break.
To disengage completely?
Well, I think that the healthy thing is disengaging completely. You know, going from, you know, that heavy work focus to something that's less work focused.
Yeah, because I have a problem with number four.
Yeah.
I mean, I do violate this one.
Mm-hmm.
Because in this business, we can sit for a long time.
Right. And I think you do number five also. Skipping on sleep. You know, again, it's somewhat paradoxical, because we think that, well, you know what, if I just sleep for a little bit and then I get back to it, if I extend my wakeful hours, I'm going to get more done.
I'll get more finished.
And it's just not true. It's we need to make sure that we're getting enough sleep. You know, and again, we talk about sleep a lot here, but it's the amount of sleep that you need, your body needs.
That's
true. Some people need 8 hours. Some people can do okay with 6 hours. Some people need 9 hours or 10 hours. You have to know what your body needs and then make sure that you get that amount of sleep.
That's true. I think that, because in the article they mentioned 6 to 8 hours. There's a big difference between 6 hours and 8 hours.
Yeah.
But as I talk to
it's
people...
It's a whole other cycle.
That's right.
Yeah.
That's right. And then you have to think about your spindles, you know, how many you have every night and how many you need. But as I talk to people who are working longer hours, and many people are... You really have to know your body, because some people do fine with 5 or 6 hours, and others have to have 8, and you just have to know which how much you need.
Yeah.
You know, it has nothing to do with anybody else.
Yeah, absolutely.
And if you're chronically tired, again, your productivity is going to get down.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So, again, this article is posted at, our little column is listed at cheatsheet.com.
Yeah.
The link is in the show notes. But it's a pretty good little list, and it's, again, some great things to be thinking about to you know, as those typical, very common habits that we have that probably make us more stressed than we would think.
Yeah, this one will get, you know, we pride ourselves in having, you know, a pretty good schedule and mm-hmm. getting things done. But then you read these five and you think, wow, I'm kind of guilty. Like I said, guilty of all five.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. So, all right.
Very good.
That's it for today then. Mm-hmm. We'll be back next time. Until then, stay happy, stay healthy, and forget to be afraid.